Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel according to Mark again as we continue our way through the story there, and we find ourselves in Mark chapter 14. But before I read our text, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and we do pray that You would bless it to us. Use it to nourish us and feed us, that we might grow in grace, that we might grow in the knowledge and fear and admonition of the Lord. We do pray this in the wonderful name of our glorious Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark chapter 14, from verse 32 through to 42. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And He took with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, He fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from Me. Yet, not what I will, but what You will." And He came and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again He went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer Him. And He came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. See, My betrayer is at hand." I wonder if you have heard this passage preached before. It's a pretty familiar passage, probably well known to most of us if you've been in the church for any length of time. It's a passage which is very dear to many Christians as we think through the reality of what it means to live in a broken world, what it means to be exposed to temptation, what it means to be exposed to suffering and pain and hurt and all sorts of other things, and what it means for us to look to God in the midst of our difficulties. And it gets often used a lot of the time as we think about what it means to follow the will of the Lord, what it means to obey God, what it means to relinquish our own will. And these are all very true things that we learn from this. Very helpful. These are all things that we learn from this. But it's not the main point of the story. The main point of the story is not how the disciples fail. It's not how we need to learn to stand watch, although those things are true lessons from this passage. The main point of this story is the experience of Jesus and what it teaches us. And in order to understand that, notice firstly the context that we see in the passage, the context that we see in the passage. Firstly, we see this almost like declension, this going down of Jesus. So we see Him enter the garden with His 11 disciples, and as He goes into the garden with the 11 disciples, He pauses as He gets in there, doesn't He? And He turns to His 11 disciples, and He says to them very simply, "Sit here while I pray. Sit here while I pray." And He goes further into the next stage. And as He goes into the next stage, He brings with Him Peter, James, and John. And as He brings in Peter, James, and John, he travels a little further. You can imagine He goes down a bit deeper into the garden. And as He gets down deeper into the garden, He pauses And he says to Peter, James, and John, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And then, verse 35, going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed. So notice the context. He goes into the garden, he descends, until he's all alone. Now, we can assume that he's probably close enough that the disciples can hear him, Peter, James, and John. They're close enough to hear him, but for all intents and purposes, he's alone. He's alone. And he's sorrowful. And his heart is breaking. Why? What is going on in the heart and mind of Jesus that he is sorrowful to the point of death? Well, to understand that, we have to look at the prayer he makes. So Jesus says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." And just before that, he prays that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. What's he talking about? What is he asking for? Now, to understand what he's asking for, you have to go back to the Old Testament and you have to ask yourself, what is the cup? What is this reference to the cup? Now, to do that, you need to turn to the book of Isaiah with me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. If you don't, you'll just have to wait for me to do it. And turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17, we read these words, "Wake yourself. Wake yourself, stand up, O Jerusalem, for you have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering." And then, down in 21, "Therefore, hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord, your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall drink no more. And I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, 'Bow down that we may pass over.' And you have made your, who have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over." So the cup that Jesus is referring to is also referenced to in Lamentations and also in Ezekiel. And it's always in reference to wrath, judgment, damnation, God's outpouring of his holy anger upon sin. So what's Jesus thinking? Well, Jesus, reflecting on the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Lamentation, heading towards the cross, is thinking about the reality of the judgment of God upon sin. And he looks towards the reality of that cup that's coming towards him. And he bows before his Father and he prays that it would be taken away. He says, all things are possible. In other words, you have the power to take this cup away. If it is possible, take this away from me. Why? Because Jesus, in his humanity, as he looks towards the cross, you've got to remember, Jesus in his humanity does not have privy inside information into the covenant of redemption. You know, we tend to downplay the humanity of Christ and think about the glory of the God-man, but we must remember that in this moment as Jesus bows down, he is bowing down as a human, looking at the horror of everything that's prophesied in the Old Testament and the full wrath of God and thinking, I don't want that. I don't want that. So he says to his Father, take it away if it's possible. If it's your will, take it away. But at the end of the day, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, I will bow myself to the will of my Father. I will bow myself to the will of God. And what's the answer? You see, if God in this moment says, my son, you do not have to go through with it. We all perish in our sin. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that we might be saved, so we might not perish in our sin. Now, we don't hear the answer, and we're not told that Jesus heard the answer. But what did Jesus do? We know the answer because of what Jesus does. And so right at the end there in verse 41 and 42, it is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Notice the steely determination of Jesus now. He has made the prayer. And now he's bowed himself to his Father's will. And he knows what is required of him. And so he sets his face towards the cross like flint and goes out for as it has been written, the Son of Man must suffer and die and on the third day rise again. Do you notice that submission to the will of God? He does it so that you and I might live. He endures that which he does not want to endure so that you and I might have life. Such is the love of God, that God would give up his one and only Son, that you and I might have life, that Jesus would endure something he detested, so that you and I might live. As the psalmist says, who are we that he is mindful of us? What a glorious Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this glorious Savior who endured the cup of wrath, who willingly went towards death that we might live. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon.